Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello, this is Ross Dunn, and before episode 420 begins, I want to share some deeply sad news. My dear friend and co-host of the SEO 101 podcast for the past 11 years, John Carcutt, passed away suddenly and unexpectedly on November 8th, 2021. The following episode was recorded prior to his passing, which is why the loss is not noted. The following episode, 421, will include a significant segment on the loss of a great man and friend, and a little levity, which he would have appreciated. And now, without further ado, episode 420.
Welcome to SEO 101, your introductory course on search engine optimization. So, turn on your computers, open your minds, grab your mouse, and get ready to get back to the basics. SEO 101 on webmasterradio.fm is now in session.
Hello and welcome to SEO 101 on WMR.fm, episode number 420. This is Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, and my co-host is my company senior SEO, Scott Van Ack. All right, well, let's jump into this. Some non-SEO news here, although it's sort of SEO, but Google Search Console's overcounted mobile experience data for 4 months. Interesting. Tell me all about this.
Yeah, so if you have been looking at your mobile page experience data in Google Search Console lately, it is most likely wrong. Apparently, data has been overcounted between June 29th and November 1st. So effective November 1st, all data should be back to normal. But prior to that, yeah, your page experience data is wrong. So flat out wrong. So I don't know what else to say about it. Just that, you know, another weekly bug at Google and yeah, it's good times, I guess.
Glad we're not involved and having to deal with it.
Yeah, it's one bug after another. Not sure what's going on. This seems pretty major. I'm guessing there are a lot of people that will not be pleased with this, but I don't know. You just have to expect it these days, I guess. It seems there's always some kind of reporting issue in Search Console lately.
Hey, Google has to keep their support department busy and happy.
They do, you know. You've got to keep your people employed. So
justify.
Maybe it's the programmers. Man, I got to justify my job. I'm just going to break a few things.
Oops.
Look at that. Well, I know how to fix that.
All right. Well, let's jump into some SEO news here. Plugin links are appearing at the top of search results. I have not seen this. Is this just in the States?
I don't know. I saw this one. I put a little screenshot here, which nobody listening in internet world here can hear us, but
it will be in the show notes.
There we go. Perfect. It was in one of the forums. I think it was one of the local search forums. Somebody had posted it and they had done a search for WordPress plugins and it didn't come up for me. And so someone had suggested best WordPress plugin. So I tried that and sure enough, it did. And what's happened is there's a little, it's not really a knowledge panel. I don't even know what you'd call it. It's this little strip across the top of the search results. And in this case, it came up with WP Rocket and WPML, I think. It's kind of blurry because I scaled the image down and I don't have it in front of me. And then if you click either of those icons, it changes the search results to be relevant to those WordPress plugins. And it's kind of interesting. I tried a whole bunch of other searches. I can't get it to come up with anything except for best WordPress plugins. So do a search on Google, take a look and see if you see that popping up. I am not even sure what to call it. It's just something changed.
They got to keep us on our toes. There you go.
Maybe it'll be even cooler. Maybe they're going to add some more stuff. But I don't think I've ever seen that happen, though, where Google has basically put a bunch of buttons that link to other search queries and the results for those. So maybe they're just testing something interesting.
I don't know. WPML or whatever it is not something that I'm aware of using. But we do use WP Rocket, which is what they show there. Interesting. Is it an indication of what's the most popular in plugins? That would be really intriguing if that's the case. And good news for WP Rocket, that's for sure.
Absolutely. Like, could you imagine if your website or your plugin or maybe apps are going to show up there? Who knows? If you're featured there, that's a pretty good selling feature. Really, Google's putting a lot of trust in you. That's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. And interestingly, if I go back, the first one's an ad. In terms of the organic below it, is an ad for Jetpack, and the next one is WP Beginner, and then HubSpot, and really just about plugins. So they don't get any other real estate on the page, and I would kind of expect it there'd be a little more description about what they are. I think they're testing this. It doesn't look like it's very useful. I mean, there's a lot of plugins, so why those in particular? And I mean, there should be some more context. Anyway.
Yeah, I'm assuming like this has got to be pretty new. I think it was posted to the forums yesterday, if I remember correctly. So maybe we'll hear more about this in the near future with other examples.
All right. And you filled in a bunch of these, so why don't you take the next one too?
Yeah, so if you are using structured data, which you should be, Google has removed 12 structured data fields from their help documents recently. So just a few little markups here that you might want to know about if you're using them. You can certainly keep all of these. I'll go through them real quick. You can keep them all. You don't have to remove them, but just know they're not doing anything for Google. So there were three that were affected. The first was the how-to markup. So you'll see how-to markup commonly used on like WikiHow is the big one that comes to mind. But you know, all those how-to type DIY websites, that sort of thing, when you're giving out instructions on how to do stuff. And they've removed the description field. Why? I don't know why that one specifically has been removed, but it is gone. So you could use abstract instead, I suppose, or whatever you like. But that description field not doing anything anymore. The next one that's been affected was QA page. So where QA page would come in handy would be on sites that basically have like a single question with multiple answers. So user-generated content sites are the most common, like answers.com, Quora, Stack Exchange, that sort of thing, where a user submits a question, everybody else submits answers. And then six of the data fields have been removed from that. Suggested answer.author, main entity.date created, I could go through these, but you probably don't care. They're kind of boring. there's a bunch of them. And then special announcement also has had some stuff removed, a provider, audience, service type, address and category. And again, special announcement you'd probably use if you're like a school district announcing school closures or an announcement related to COVID or, you know, any number of special short-term announcements. So if you use any of those markups, you might want to just take a look at that and see if you're marking that stuff up. And if you're not and you add the markup, you can skip those fields now. So that was posted over at Search Engine Land, but it's also, I don't have the actual Google link handy, but that will be posted in the help documents at Google. So,
and you know what? Keep in mind too, that part of the reason for not removing these is they're not using them now. Who knows what they're doing next year? heaven knows that there is nothing stable about Google's choices. From apps we use all the time getting completely shut down out of the blue to, well, I guess they usually give warning, but still for no obvious reason, to complete changes in the algorithm. I mean, this is not something I would be too concerned about removing. Doesn't look, if they're not using them right now, who cares? That's why they've removed them from their help documents. But just the same, I think it's a good thing to keep in there if you've got them, and you know, don't spend any time adding them. But yeah, it's certainly no harm in keeping them there.
Yeah, exactly. I wouldn't add them, but there could be other places that are using them, like maybe Bing or Lycos. I don't know. somebody might be using them. So no sense rushing to get rid of them.
Okay. The next one up is about job seekers. It says, help job seekers understand your job postings by including a complete description. Well, that seems not so obvious. being sarcastic. Anyway, Google has uncovered an opportunity and decided to share it in the Google Search Central blog. Quote, in the description section of a posting in the jobs experience on Google Search, we only present text that is included in the description property. That is why it's important to include information about job qualification, skills, benefits, etc. in the description field. You do not need to remove the more specific fields such as qualifications, but just ensure that you also include this data in the description property itself. Unquote. That's redundant, isn't it? But well, so be it. I guess it's one of those things. If someone's reading that first, then there's a certain benefit in making it simpler for them to get to that info.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is, you know, primarily in the structured markup again. So it's nice to see that Google is, you know, without question, pulling data from that markup and using that. So yeah, in your jobs markup, yeah, the bit of redundancy, I guess, is a good thing.
Yeah, great. Wow. One of the posts kind of blew my mind today. It's not that exciting, but it was surprising to me, is Google has recommended placing videos on dedicated pages for maximum exposure. Now, if it was a major video, something of great consequence, maybe a cornerstone content on your site, well, it'll be on its own page anyway. But in this case, they're suggesting anything with a certain amount of relevance that should be on their own page. This is an actual update to their video best practices for webmasters. They suggest this will gain maximum exposure in search for you. They've updated the section to say create a dedicated page for each video, and they suggest making it prominent. And you know, don't worry, you can still embed it within video with another content. Just ensure that it's the prominent piece of the page. They're also suggesting using, you know, including the transcript or video description on the dedicated page beneath the video, which I think is a no-brainer to anyone out there who's got some SEO basics, even simply because it adds more context to the page and gives something for Google to index, now the transcription especially. One thing I'd be interested in learning, and I'll look at the link again to see if there's anything obvious there, but do they mention the best ways to embed transcriptions? Is there a particular transcription file format that they prefer? All that stuff. I keep thinking about that and forgetting to research it. Are you aware, Scott?
I'm not aware of any exact way they want it formatted or anything like that. There probably is a preferential way. I know what a lot of people seem to do is, you know, you'll pull the auto transcription from YouTube and just post that in, you know, a P tag. Or in a span or a div or whatever in your HTML, quite simply. But there might be better ways to format that.
Mm-hmm. You know, I was just doing a quick search to see if there's anything really obvious. And there's a lot of content here, but not an immediate answer for me. You know, it talks about subtitles and captions, and I understand that stuff and what's required for that. That's definitely a different animal entirely. But for a transcription, oh yeah, here we go. Tips for creating a transcript file. This is from YouTube. And it appears it's best to save it as a plain text file. Okay, that would have been my guess. But the formatting, not what I've been doing. I can tell you that.
Oh.
Yeah, well, anyways, time to do a little updating. See, we're always learning, even we are. On a regular basis. Gosh, anyone who thinks that SEOs aren't learning on a regular basis doesn't understand the business. I'm constantly being surprised. And this is, again, something that I've been meaning to look up, so I'm glad I did now. I'll post this so it's mentioned in the show notes. And we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk some local SEO news.
SEO 101 will be back right after recess.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome back to SEO 101 on WMR.FM, hosted by myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, and my company senior SEO, Scott Van Ack. All right, so I always find value when I get a chance to do this. There's a good old localsearchforum.com. I love going through there and seeing what kind of posts are making waves. And one of them happens to be an issue that's taking place for local people with any kind of Google search or Google My Business listing. Essentially, there's been a Joy Hawkins reports that she's had a quote unquote, a ton of people contact me about suspensions in the last week, unquote. And people are going, what the heck is going on? It says due to suspicious activity. That's all they're being told. There's nothing else about it. And they're completely baffled as to why they've been suspended. Apparently it's a known issue. And you need to connect with them, connect with Google, or at least post in the Google My Business forum. And the GMB forum will at least make it aware to Google that these are issues. They're going to ask for your business name, or when you post, please provide your business name and address, the case ID for the reinstatement request. And this is if you've already requested one, and they will say they're sending it to you. Sometimes they'll actually give you a reinstatement. At the same time, one of the examples, the same time they received it, they received another suspension email. It makes no sense. Anyways, include the reinstatement request, the case ID, plus a link to where Google can see the business and to ensure that it's real. Any photos you have that show the business exists, such as storefront photos, company truck, etc. A link to the existing listing inside Google My Business dashboard. And here, when you go to Google or business, click on your listing, copy and paste the URL that's in your browser. So include that in there and post it to the GMB forum. And that will, they're going to help ensure that Google sees these and hopefully just fix this up, because who needs inexplicable suspensions? It's just, I don't know. I've ranted and raved before about it, but Google Local is just, it's still so young. There's just so many things they're always fixing, but at least they're fixing it in time. Next up, removing the online order functionality from a Google My Business listing. Now, this has really ticked me off in the past, and you know, dealing with any kind of restaurant or eatery or anything like that, oftentimes, without their approval, there is a listing below saying order, and it says Grubhub, DoorDash, all these different things are links. You can click on them and go to those places to order from, let's say it's your own restaurant. Well, you're like, well, no, I actually offer my own ordering. Why are they going to there? I don't want to pay any money to these companies or use them. I'd rather use my own. Well, someone has used what's called the online food opt-out form, which is apparently offers the ability to have that removed. Now, that's what I read. However, Google's response to the person who sent this in said, and I'll quote, "I would like to inform you that the link to certain booking and ordering services can appear automatically within your business listings in Google Search and Google Maps. These links are updated automatically via third-party providers. There's no way to add, edit, or remove these links in Google My Business. Therefore, I regret to inform you that we would not be able to remove these links from our end," unquote. This is Google replying.
That's nice.
That's infuriating. So what they're suggesting is a lengthy process of contacting each of the providers that are showing up there and asking them to remove you.
What?
Now, I know it's redunculous, and reading this particular thread, which again will be linked to within the show notes, they actually have tried that already, and they were told to contact Google. Oh my lordy, this is just so. Now, if it's an ad showing up, and apparently this is becoming quite common, if it's an ad showing DoorDash or something along those lines, or in a more extreme case I'll get to in a second, you have to bid on them to push them out. So essentially you need to be bidding on your own name. It's just ridiculous. Now, there's no way to remove that ad. In fact, in a more extreme example I mentioned here, a concerned forum member's listing has, quote, "an ad for a lead gen company with a fake website using their client's logo to deceive customers," unquote. Now, that should be pulled pretty darn quickly. Google's good about that, as long as they're being notified about it. But how did that even get through? Don't they have an approval process? It just boggles my mind.
That all seems so shady.
it's so Wild West still. The local is just so unbelievably Wild West. It's mind-boggling.
What gets me is I haven't used a lot of these food ordering services, like you said, Grubhub, DoorDash, Skip the Dishes, all those guys. But so let's say someone searches for your restaurant, they see your listing, there's the Skip the Dishes link, so they click that, they order. Now, who's paying the fee that Skip the Dishes charges? Is that the business or is that the end consumer? And is that transparent to the end consumer if it's them? Because, you know, that could really tick a lot of people off and get people not feeling good about the business they're trying to order from, even though they have no say in it whatsoever.
So I don't know about the from the restaurant ends, whether or not they have to engage those companies somehow. I don't think they do, though. And I know because we've ordered through DoorDash before. Where won't do it again necessarily. But you have to pay a fee on top of everything. So let's say $6 for delivery. Plus they expect a tip. Plus you're also tipping the company or the restaurant. It becomes quite expensive. So I prefer ordering directly from the restaurant, either picking it up, of course, but if they're going to deliver, I'd rather them use their own delivery service. And then I just tip a little bigger and it's still cheaper and I feel a little better about it. All right. So we have a question here. Actually, Michael did send another one in today. Thank you, Michael.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, he did. I haven't added it yet, but Michael Linehan posted a question about SEO factors. He says, what would you say are the top 10 SEO factors today? Now, he did ask us to weight them and put numbers and stuff. I'm sorry, Michael. Well, let's do the best we can here. We didn't prep that well. Top 10 SEO factors today.
This question could be its own show in itself, but
it really should be in many ways. I don't know, and this is listed in order, so I apologize. Maybe we'll make it a show, but my first thought would be, you know, first of all, making sure that what you have on your site, you know, is actually crawlable. That seems number one to me.
You know, I have a couple little notes written down, and my number one issue is spider issues. So yeah, crawlability. Without a doubt.
They can't see it. Well, good luck.
And you know, it's funny. It's something that's overlooked sometimes. Like we have a client who one day their rankings just plummeted. We're like, what's going on? Where do their rankings go? And their content management system had updated. It's a proprietary system. And we believe what happened is it did an auto update. And for some reason, set all their top level category pages to no index.
Oh my God.
So that's bad. And so yeah, spider issues. Check your crawlability, which is not really a word, but kind of is.
Hey, it is so in our world.
Check your crawlability, which is most certainly a word. And number one, do that for sure.
The next part would be content. Of course, that's kind of broad. I mean, that alone probably could be a few points. But let's just say content, you know, having original content. Let's put that original content. Again, I don't know whether this is an order, so bear with us, but we're doing our best on the fly. What did you have for second? Maybe you'll counter that.
My little notes are not in any particular order.
Okay.
But they are things that are important. I had internal 404 errors, which I guess could fall into spider ability and crawlability type stuff, but yeah. Any kind of internal errors are a killer. Or they can be if it's bad.
True. I'll put crawlability / errors.
There we go.
Unless we run out of time and then we're going to take errors, you're going to make it one of the number points. points. original content, site structure. Now, I know that's sort of crawlability, but in a way it's not. It's, you know, let's call it navigation.
Yeah, I was thinking navigational issues. I guess these aren't necessarily, I guess they are SEO factors. In a way, this is almost like an audit, what to check list, but it's kind of the same thing.
Yeah, since you whip off all these audits all the time, this should be inherent to you.
Well, I mean, we check a lot of things, but he did say top 10. He said it top did. 10.
Dude.
We're going to end up with 8. I just know it.
I know. Well, we're at 3.
I would say these days, actually, this maybe should even be number 1 or number 2, mobility. And speed, which could probably be clunked into
Let's
one
say
thing. But
mobile friendliness, site speed.
Site speed, yeah.
Slash page speed.
And you could, if you're going to group it, you could group in Core Web Vitals as part of that. even though on its own wouldn't stand in the top 10, but it's kind of a site speed, mobile, utility. It's, they're kind of all the same issue in a way.
Yeah, it's true. That's true. Taking away some valuable points, though.
Sorry. My bad.
Well, I mean, if we go down to granular stuff, title tag's pretty damn big. Page optimization, I guess we'd say.
Yeah, I would still
would
include
moved up higher though.
Yeah, I would still include title tags, meta descriptions, even though they'd be lower on the top 10, like maybe even number 10. I would say they're still like title tags still matter. You know, it still does. You know, even though the weight's gone down, if your title tags all say homepage, you know, that's not going to be good for anybody.
How often do we see that? It's ridiculous. We're just home.
Often.
Oh,
all the time.
I always know
every day.
That's a safe bet we can improve rankings for that client.
Absolutely.
Title tags.
I would say security's got to be up there as well. Security, you know, things like mixed content like HTTP versus HTTPS. If you've got security issues, it's not so much that your site has to be secure. It's that if it is secure and parts of it aren't, that's where you get into trouble when it's a mix, I think.
Yeah. Okay. Sounds good.
Let's see what else we got here. Structured markup will be high on the list these days, I would say. Heck, I think we talked about it twice today alone.
It's true. And I mean, this also, these SEO factors, we're talking about on-site, not talking off-site. That's a whole nother thing. And we're not talking local SEO, which is another thing entirely too. Again, that's offsite. Google My Business, what's required there, all that sort of thing. So we're at 8, looks like here.
We're at 8. Well,
you can tell we should have done this before you started the show.
wouldn't that have been great? I actually had on my list, and you just vetoed it by saying we're talking only on-site. I was going to say inbound links and citations and that kind of stuff, but I'm not allowed to say that because you just said it's on-site only.
Yeah, there you go. What about, I don't know, I'd say user experience.
It's got to be up there.
You know, that helps with overall the context of the page as well. Because Google tries to look at it as a user. So I think that's really important.
Partially built into navigation, I would say, especially if you've got an e-commerce site or something like that, canonical tags would still be super important as well. But not always. You know, if you've got a really small, like 3-page website, well, you should make it bigger. But if you
image
do...
I'm going to put image optimization as number 10, because that is pretty damn big. How many times do we see sites just failing utterly because their images are massive?
Yeah, images can be a big issue at times for sure.
So let's see here. That's 10 already, but I know, you know, there's concepts as well we're not discussing here, such as EAT, expertise, authoritativeness, trustworthiness. And a lot of that can be implemented through schema, through proper pages during, you know, navigation, and site structure. You know, we didn't mention H1 tags and stuff like that. People might be going, what the hell? You know, there is no obvious correlation anymore. It is a good policy to ensure from a pure user experience perspective that your page is structured well so it's readable. And it also just makes it more digestible to crawling. But officially, there is no obvious example. Like if you have a heading one tag on a page versus not, it's not going to make an obvious difference in rankings. It's just a matter of good policies, filling in the, you know, checking off the boxes, right? But I would say these are the top, a good top 10 off the cuff. If you couldn't tell it was off the cuff.
I thought it was pretty pro. I don't know.
Yeah. See, the problem with us is we've been doing this so long. This is my 25th year. And what's this year's 19th?
19 years. Yeah.
Yeah. It's harder to do this now because we see all the little minutiae, but we're trying to filter that out. In any case, I hope that helps you, Michael. Lots there. We did a pretty decent job of the order, but I probably would polish up a couple things. Maybe we'll do that for the final show notes.
But you know, the order again would come down to the old two words, the two swear words. It depends. You got to say it every show. It can, but it does, you know, depending on the size of your site and your market and all that. I mean, certain items would be more important than others. So I don't know if you really can prioritize it in a broad spectrum that would apply to everybody.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, but we are trying to generalize it, and that's fair enough. I think we did a decent job of that. Well, on behalf of myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, and my company senior SEO, Scott Van Eck, thank you for joining us today. Remember, we have a show notes newsletter you can sign up for at SEO101radio.com. And if you have any questions you'd like to share with us, please feel free to post them on our Facebook group, easily found by searching SEO 101 podcast on Facebook. Have a great week, and remember to tune into future episodes, which air every week on WMR.fm.
Thanks for listening, everybody, and remember to have your pets spayed or neutered.
The opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and hosts and do not necessarily reflect those of WebmasterRadio.fm's management or sponsors. Any rebroadcast or redistribution without authorized consent of WebmasterRadio.fm is prohibited.